What if you had the resources you needed for your mental health right at your fingertips? Imagine a world where our mental well-being is prioritized just like our physical health, and where we have access to the tools and support we need. That's exactly what the Make Mental Health Matter show is all about. Join Kelly Melissa Reinhart, a true warrior for mental health, founder of Make Mental Health Matter nonprofit, author, and wellness coach. This show is your gateway to breaking down the stigma surrounding mental health. Tune in for enlightening conversations, expert insights, and empowering stories that will not only increase awareness, but also provide education about mental health. It's time to have those hard conversations, prioritize your well-being, and make your mental health matter. Your mental wellness journey starts here.
Welcome to another episode of Make Mental Health Matter. I am your host, Kelly Melissa Reinhart. And if you happen to be just joining us for the very first time, thank you so much for tuning in. If this is your second, your third, your millionth, I don't know, we haven't had a million episodes, but you never know. You might have went back and watched the other ones. Either way, thank you so much for watching. And the whole point of this show is to really bring you either professionals or advocates of mental health or those with lived experience. And most of my guests that I bring on have lived experience, and that's why they do what they do now. Myself included, I have a story. I do what I do now because of my story and the loss of my sister, and really wanting to have these open, honest conversations that not a lot of people like to have, but they're really important conversations, whether it be about our mental health, about substance abuse, about living the living experience with a mental health challenge. Or I've had guests that even in the past almost became a school shooter, one that also lives with cancer. There's lots of stories, lots of journeys. And really the whole goal is, and the hope is, that these stories that I share and my guests share with you really truly shows you that you're not alone, because there are lots and lots of people in this world, and we have found that people are actually feeling more alone today than they ever have. And it's so interesting because we have these connections that we can make with technology, but yet people feel really alone. And I think that it might have to do with lack of understanding, lack of empathy, the lack of communication that we have. Like, we sit behind these devices and we don't communicate as much. And so we're not asking the questions. We're not noticing how people process things. We're just busy, busy, busy. And with technology at our fingertips, it makes it even worse in a way, because now our brains only have about 3 to 5 seconds that we process information, and then we're on to the next thing. But having the conversations with those that might experience things differently, they think a little bit differently. Being open and transparent is really important. And that's why I am excited to have my guest on for today, because his background, first and foremost, is really incredible. His story is really incredible. So let me introduce him first before I bring him on. So Thomas Wilson is a professional advocate, writer, consultant, business owner, and sensory-friendly event specialist. His work is centered around an empathetic and personal and person-first mindset that works to empower and uplift community voices. His work is inspired by his own personal experience within his life as a member of the neurodiverse and mental health community. His work has been highlighted internationally, and he has partnered with over 40 plus businesses in the United States. Overall, Thomas's work continues to be a bright spot that is celebrated by the community. So without further ado, welcome, Thomas. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you and I have, we talked before you came onto the show, but I would love for you to just share your story and what you do specifically with the audience.
Definitely. So I grew up in the early 90s with lived experience, well, with a diagnosis, mental health diagnosis. I always, every time I'm on a show or a discussion, I always highlight that the 90s were not a great point for the collective mental health and the attitude towards mental health, as many of us know. I always point out that, like, the running joke that I saw on TV was, if you went to therapy, people thought you were insane. Like, that was a joke. It's not funny. It's not clever. It's very lazy and very hurtful. And I also grew up in a school system and in the system in general, didn't really understand how to work with kids like me, didn't understand how to empower or uplift and really understand the core of what a kid was in that time frame. So as I grew in high school, well, in school, getting to high school, I felt very battered down. I felt very mistreated. I was mistreated. And I went through this kind of metamorphosis that I hope no kid really ever has to go through, which is understanding, going from a kid who's really excited about school to going to a kid that hated school, hated everything about it. And it wasn't really until I got to high school where I started getting actual supports. I ended up in a program that was really useful, one of very few. And then I went on to college, something people never really said I'd do. I remember being told, actually, that I was going to end up in jail. That was told to me when I was 8 years old, which is wild to me that people actually say that to kids. But around the time I graduated college, I realized something very profound, which was that I have an ability to write, to talk, to work on these needs in a way that really a lot of people don't, due to my lived experience. And so I've been in the healthcare field, in the event specialist field, for over 12 years now at this point. It's wild to me that the last year has passed so rapidly. But over time, my focus with the business I'm running now, alongside my day job, which is to create programs, create opportunities for people to feel connected, to feel empowered, to feel special, all through stories. So as mentioned, I do advocacy, I do public speaking. We really don't, I think, even with the time frame we have, I don't think we have time for me to dive into everything I do, but it's all driven by those experiences, all those mentalities of me wanting to be a success, me wanting to prove people wrong, but also wanting to share my story and create stories through a mindset and a manner that actually helps people feel special, helps lift up their voices, helps challenge the ideas that questions are bad or programs that don't honor people can be challenged and all of these things. And I should say that my business is a for-profit, but part of the reason I keep it for-profit is to also challenge the mindset that for-profit businesses can't do good in the world. They're not as valuable as charities. This has become a big thing for me because I realize a lot of people, when they hear for a profit, especially in healthcare or in the field that I am, they think I'm taking advantage. But it's actually a diligent effort of mine to provide high quality events, high quality care, in which people actually tell me I should charge more, but also so that people can know that we can go out in the world, we can earn money, we can do good work, and really make a difference against a mindset that is so ingrained, I feel like, in the community in a variety of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And interesting that somebody told you when you were 8 that you were going to end up in jail. That's very odd. But I do love that you mentioned, asking questions, finding out what's going on. And thank you for sharing a portion of your story. And I know, like, we kind of talked, it could be a whole lot longer conversation, but we'll chat about a lot of all the things that you do. And I know you and I had that conversation about for-profit versus nonprofit, since mine is a nonprofit and yours is a for-profit. But I think that is one way that society is going today, is they're really trying to take a look at for profits and what good they can do in the world also. So I love that you have that concept behind what you do. So tell us more of, like, specifically, what are these events? How do they work? That's the question that's popping in my head. Sorry.
It's all good. So I do things such as sensory-friendly Dungeons & Dragons, which is its own kind of whole world. I've done public speaking. I've done events for charities and for other organizations around themes such as overcoming loss and overcoming the pain associated with it. I've also done events for charities where I have shared a bit of my story and helped to bridge community education and help those in need understand where they can get resources. I also do consulting for organizations that want to better understand how to work with the neurodiverse community. I've also done youth one-on-one mentorship. One of the things I'm really excited about is I'm starting a program where I work with young youth on helping them to either develop their own story or book or D&D campaign by practicing that, but also applying it to real life skills and helping them develop, you know, their self-advocacy, their empowerment through this creative means. I'm also really excited to say that I have my own D&D camp, which the whole mission around that is to create a fun, empowering opportunity for kids to develop their own creative story, but at the same time, build their math skills, their problem-solving skills, their mindsets around what their own narrative is, and then help them develop their own story. There is so many things as well, including I've helped businesses develop their own stories for their communities to reach out to organizations. And I've also, in certain events, I've even done things like this, like podcasting, sharing my story, keeping the communication going, but also I've been able to help promote and advocate for organizations that I really believe are powerful. Again, I could go on and on and on, but those are some of the core things, and I love them very much. The last one I will highlight really quickly is I'm a big believer in events where youth, I often like saying youth over kids because there's a very different mindset towards those two words. One of my flagship events that's popping up right now is Stories Meant for Movement, which is all around using active play to help youth develop their own stories. And then we use games and gamification and other things to help kids create their skills through self-advocacy as well. And I am also working diligently on constantly creating new programs, getting new ideas out there, and really focusing in on creating spaces where youth can gather and just be themselves and laugh and have fun and really involve as little mentorship as I can so that kids can develop these skills on their own.
I love that because I know I told you this, but I have an 8-year-old, almost 9, and I don't understand D&D at all. I have had lots of friends in the past. I worked in tech support at a corporate job, and there were a lot of techie people that very much played D&D, and I never really fully understood the whole gaming. Like, when I grew up, we had Nintendo, and we had, you know, like, it was the basic type of games. But ultimately, I understand now my son plays like Fortnite and Gorilla Tag, probably things that he shouldn't be playing. But he really gets into this world. And I think that's so important to have a space, a safe space that kids can come, they can be themselves, like the silly, happy-go-lucky kids that they should be. Versus, and I'm not saying all schools, but a lot of schools are very structured, which that, you know, schools are for structure, schools are for socializing. They have a purpose, learning, growing. But I think, like you talked about even earlier, was that your school experience was not very good. And it wasn't until you got into a special program that actually helped you. And I think that's important for schools to hear. Anybody that might be a teacher or work in a school, it's important to have those extracurricular activities or just even classes that can help the kids that maybe don't process the same as others. I also like to mention, like, what is normal? I don't feel like there's ever a normal, right? But like you said, asking the questions, like understanding more, not being worried about asking a question that somebody needs to explain, right? Like that's how we start to understand. That's how we get to know people. And we can't just assume that every kid is the same and every kid's going to be good in this subject or that subject. We really have to have those open conversations and be able to adapt and change. And I know there's not a ton of room in public schools, say, to be so flexible, but how cool would that be to be able to have that space? And so that's why I love what you're creating is the safe space that kids can come and just be themselves and learn in addition to that.
I completely agree. I think part of it, part of the reason I'm such an advocate against the current education system, well, I shouldn't say against the way it's set up is the way I should say it, is because a big part of it is I don't think it's set up at all for anyone to succeed. There's a very small set of kids who do very well in a school with thousands and thousands of fellow students and teachers who are burnt out. And like, I should definitely highlight, teachers are working against so much nowadays. Like they've always had a lot, but there's so much more. And that's why I'm such a big advocate around things changing, because when our teachers are healthier, when they're doing better, our classrooms are smaller and kids feel comfortable and safe. And there's so many things that I could get into that I don't want to for the sake of not triggering people. But the world, it's scary. And being a kid has been harder. Being a youth has been harder than it has been for a long time. And it's only getting harder. And it's only natural that the people trying to support the youth are having a harder time. And I think there needs to be drastically different changes, because it's just, it's failing. It's failing so many people, teachers, adults, families. And it's wild to me that people see that and go, oh, but there's nothing we can do, right? And a lot of it is funding, but I think a core part of that is opening up, like you said earlier, that idea of empathy and trying to figure out how we can support our schools better, because it hasn't been working for a really long time.
Yeah, definitely. And I know like that probably is a whole nother subject that you and I could get into, but we won't for the sake of not triggering anybody. But we're going to go to a quick sponsored break. But once we come back, we'll chat a little bit more about the events that you do. And then just there's a couple other questions that are bubbling in my head. So we'll be right back after this quick sponsored break.
It's time to make mental health matter. BCC bridges the gap by educating people to support those who are facing a mental health challenge. We aim to ACE, increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. To empower people and get educated and speak out about mental health and suicide so that we break down the stigma and start saving lives. Let's stop the stigma and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide through educational classes and community events to reach 1 million people by 2030. And you can help. Go to bccevolution.org. Stay connected. Be a part of our community. Go to bccevolution.org. bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
What if you could transform your mental health journey with just one question? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to prioritize your mental well-being like never before? Well, now's your chance. Introducing Make Mental Health Matter, the show that's changing the conversation about mental wellness. Join us every Monday on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we delve into insightful discussions, expert advice, and inspiring stories. Hosted by Kelly Melissa Reinhardt, a warrior for mental health, this show is your guide to breaking down the stigma surrounding mental health and discovering valuable resources to enhance your well-being. So, are you ready to take charge of your mental health journey? Tune in and let's make mental health matter together.
Calling all authors. Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to DreamVision7Radio.com.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at DreamVision7Radio.com.
Make Mental Health Matter. Support BCEvolution.org, a nonprofit organization in Aurora, Colorado, and assist by donating, volunteering, or shopping our merch. Either way helps us develop programs and events, help us increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. Become a mental health warrior and find out why it matters. Go to BCEvolution.org now or email us support@BCEvolution.org and make mental health matter.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And like that, we're back. If you just happen to be joining us, thank you so much for watching. And my guest today, Thomas, we are talking about his story with his experience with neurodivergent and mental health, also how he creates these events for youth and adults that are really sensory friendly, and how this conversation about thinking differently, feeling differently, how we can ask questions versus assuming. It's a really great conversation. So the thing that's popping in my head, and I want you to answer this if you want to, but I know a lot of people don't fully understand the word neurodivergent. Would you be able to just explain that so that people can understand a little bit better?
Definitely. So I will state that I am not qualified to diagnose anyone, just for anyone watching. And I may misspeak. Part of my own experience is some pretty nasty imposter syndrome, which always terrifies me with simpler questions. But the best way I can say it is neurodivergent is a way in which the brain processes. It is a I don't necessarily see it's kicking in. So it is a way in which the brain processes, which is very different than what people would describe as neurotypical. Neurodiversity can include things like ADHD, autism, a variety of other diagnoses. And it essentially means the brain works a little bit different. It processes questions or data differently. It impacts the way in which people might think or answer questions. It's a very, very, very complex scenario, but it is at its core the way in which the brain processes. And there are probably experts out there who could explain it a little bit better than me, but I hope that helps.
Yeah, no, and I apologize. I should have said based off of your own experience, because really, like, we only see the world from our own experience, and we truly can't ever fully understand what somebody else experiences, because our experience are going to be very different. I always have the challenge that my brain goes faster than my mouth. And that is something that happens all the time. I know that I have had people in the past tell me I should go get tested for ADHD. And I said, I don't really need to get tested because I'm pretty sure it's going to, you know, come up that I have some sort of form of ADHD. And that's just how my brain processes. And I'm okay with that. So that's why I always like to say is like, what is normal? I don't think there's any normal, but if you have, say, a youth or you have somebody in your life that maybe processes things differently, it is important to go seek a professional to figure out what's going on. And just like Thomas and I are not the professionals in those categories, nor do we try to diagnose, but more understanding and understanding that we can ask questions. Hey, it's okay for me not to fully understand how Thomas processes and vice versa, but I can ask. And that's the cool part about it, is that we can have these open conversations and it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be something that I'm really curious. I often ask a lot of questions, and I think that's okay, right? Like, we can still have open conversations and not fully understand how or what other people experience, and you know, just keep going on with life. So so tell us a little bit more. I know you shared your experience and how you grew up, and then really getting into this place of being an entrepreneur and finding out that these events have been really helpful for you and also helpful for others. So tell a little bit more about, I know specifically, like, where do you host these? Is it something that you can come into organizations and help them, or companies? Because you already talked about helping with charities, but maybe like companies, say they want to bring in more sensory friendly activities. What would that look like?
Definitely. So to answer the first part of that, my personal experience with sensory friendly events, and I do think part of this is due to a large chunk of my life, neurodiverse, I don't feel like was a term or a term a lot of people use. So growing up 90s, early 2000s, being in, you know, my essentially young adulthood at this point, there hasn't been as many sensory friendly activities as I would like. Even though they're popping up more and more, a lot of my work is really inspired by the idea of like this needing to be a community thing and needing to be more accessible. And the very few experiences I have, I would say, were drastically different than the thing. I always highlight concerts. I have no problem with concerts. I think they're amazing events. We actually might have talked to about this in our first chat. But concerts are great. They're a wonderful experience. But for a lot of us, they're only like this very short period of time where they actually optimal. They are loud. There's thousands of people at a big concert. They're potentially even more. And about 20 minutes in, I find a lot of people check out. They want to leave. They have to get up and move. They have to process things. And there's no sensory room. There's really no safe space to go out and walk, depending on the setting. And there is a lot of stimuli constant. Like, there could be people bumping up against you. There could be people walking in front of you, brushing against your leg. And if you've never experienced the unpleasant tactile touch of fabric when you don't want it, that's jarring, extremely jarring. And all of these things may seem small to some people, but they are so important to being able to enjoy things. And there are so many neurodiverse, so many people who have sensory needs in general, that these are overwhelming. And again, nothing wrong with concerts. I think they are a great expression of art and humanities. But when I try to, going into the other aspect of the question, when I try to provide them for organizations, when I try to provide sensory-friendly events, one of the core things that I really focus on is understanding the environment, how it's set up, how it is laid out so that people can go and move. There's a space for movement. Nothing is too close to one another. A core thing I even do is separate chairs as much as possible, making sure there's a space for people to lay down, making sure there's another option to sit. I also watch my own voice. I try very hard. There's a lot of talk within the events facilitation and even voice actors. You have to have a robust voice, something that commands a room. My mentality is actually extremely different. I try to have a gentle demeanor, gentle voice, calm, even tones that are not necessarily as grabbing, but they elicit a sense of calm. It's actually something I would hope to do someday, is actually teach people how to communicate these ways for these events and then send them out. But when it comes to these organizations, when they're looking for them, one of the core other things that I do when I help people, and if people want this, is I help people understand their people. I help them break down, you know, if somebody has autism, what could that be like with lighting? Or what could that be with the tools used at the event they want to use? The other thing that I always try to do, and this is a lot harder with a bigger community event, but I always try to make people feel at ease, make them feel calm. So if it's a smaller event with maybe 10, 12 people, I'll joke with them. I'll ask them questions about their interests. I'll try to shake their hand and meet their eyes, which not everyone likes that, but I find when it's a gentle handshake and a calm energy, it's much easier. On top of that, I also work to listen to the people, watch their behavior, their body language, give them time to step away. That's a huge one that I think a lot of people forget about, is if someone's overstimulated, give them time to leave and come back. And if they can't come back, that's okay. It's so hard to understand the mental processes of overstimulation if you've never experienced it. And tying this into the third part, when I have organizations that ask for my help, I communicate all of that, but I also work to be just as flexible in the communication. And when someone reaches out to me, I'm very clear about what my expectations are, what my skill set are, and I dive into everything that I can offer them. And so when organizations talk to me, when they're looking to me, I always recommend we start with email. And then I always recommend that we have those honest discussions about spaces, about things that may be jarring, about lighting, so that they have a firm understanding. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. You actually just gave me a lot to think about too. And I think I have naturally, in most of the events that we do with my nonprofit, the spaces that I choose have a little bit of space. Other than this year's gala, it was like one space. And I even found, as I get older, it's like I can be at a concert and I'll be fine. And then other times I'm just like, oh, it's like very overwhelming. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I need to get out of here. So I have those feelings myself too. Even sitting at home watching TV sometimes, it's like I have to turn it up because I can't hear it. But then all of a sudden it's like really loud and I'm like, turn it down. So I'm like constantly fluctuating the sound on the TV. But what I was thinking about is our galas in the past. We had the space where the band was. Then we had a kind of like little separate space that kind of like had a chill area. And then one that's even farther away that people could take pictures or just go to hang out if they don't want the loud music. So I think just naturally I can't say I always, but most events, I try to offer the different spaces because for me, that's sometimes what I need. I don't want to be always in the mix, but I also want to be aware of other people, right? Like they may not want to be listening to the band the whole time. They may want to go over and actually have conversations with people. So I love that you said being aware of the spaces that you're utilizing with events and or in companies and organizations and the lighting, how that can affect. And yeah, you just gave me a lot of things to think about as we restart. We're actually restarting our community events next month because like you said, community and connection is so big. It's like one of the biggest things that helps people mentally. It also helps people physically, and we're not conditioned as humans to isolate. So the more connections we can make, the better, but keeping in mind to have those spaces that people can go. So thank you for sharing that because that, I mean, just light bulbs all over the place for me.
Thank you as well.
Yeah. So I'm like, what is the question that was popping up into my head? I think I just like latched on to everything that you were saying. So what else would you like to share with the audience, whether it be your story, the actual events that you do? What else would you like to share?
Definitely. So there's a few things I can definitely say. I do want to mention that I have numerous events coming up throughout the next months. I'm hoping to launch a few youth initiatives here in Colorado, as well as a few camps, a few classes. Additionally, on top of that, one of the core things that I always like to tell people, other than, you know, about the work I do, is keep in mind, especially for families or people helping out with, you know, people in underserved communities, two of the big things are just because someone doesn't understand does not mean it's their fault. I run into so many situations where even in myself as a youth, even today, I don't always track well. I don't always keep track of what other people say or what I say. I get distracted or I ask questions because I don't understand fully what someone says. A big thing for me is like text messages. I have a very hard time interpreting tones. So if someone asks you, even if they're not neurodiverse or they don't have mental health or something, they ask you, what do you mean? I would always say, be cautious, be empathetic, because there's a lot that happens in the brain that can cause someone to not understand. And the other thing, and I think this is a big thing for families, especially with youth, is it is so hard. I know it's so hard from time to time to find people that you can rely on, that you can build off of. But I find one of the best ways to help your youth in that moment is to help them understand that it's not their fault that there are people who just don't like the neurodiverse community or don't want to work with them or have their own inherent ableism. There's so much that youth can run into, adults can run into. It's very hard. I think really instilling that idea and teaching them to instill it within themselves, it's not their fault. It's not their responsibility to carry that, is an incredibly important lesson to teach.
I love that. Yes. As a parent, sometimes I forget that, right? I assume because I feel like my son has an older soul. We have been having lots of conversations that maybe other parents don't have with their younger kids, mainly because of the work that I do. I always try to explain to him exactly what mental health, suicide prevention, you know, like those are all conversations that not a lot of parents have, but should be having. Mm-hmm. But as a parent, it's sometimes hard when your brain is like off in this world of like, well, they should understand, but they don't fully understand because we know that the brain is not fully developed until 25 to 28. And it's not their fault, right? Like we have to remember that as adults, it's not their fault. They're learning. They're little sponges. We have to teach them and provide this safe space for them to explore whomever they might be, right? And it doesn't have to be our way or the highway. I hate that phrase. Mm-hmm. It's one of those that I just, whenever somebody says that, like, I'm the adult, they should do what I say. I'm like, really? But also knowing that we can create this space that they can just be them. They can explore what does that mean. And if something happens, it's not their fault because maybe they weren't taught or maybe they forgot, right? I forget a lot of things too. And sometimes I don't always listen as well as I probably should. I try the best that I can, but my brain goes in lots. I have lots of squirrel moments also. And so sometimes I track, sometimes I don't. And it's okay to follow up with those questions. So I love that you said that. So we're going to go to one more quick sponsored break. Once we get back, we'll share a little bit about how people can find you. So we'll be right back after this.
It's time to make mental health matter. BCC bridges the gap by educating people to support those who are facing a mental health challenge. We aim to ACE, increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. To empower people and get educated and speak out about mental health and suicide so that we break down the stigma and start saving lives. Let's stop the stigma and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide through educational classes and community events to reach 1 million people by 2030. And you can help. Go to bccevolution.org. Stay connected. Be a part of our community. Go to bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
What if you could transform your mental health journey with just one question? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to prioritize your mental well-being like never before? Well, now's your chance. Introducing Make Mental Health Matter, the show that's changing the conversation about mental wellness. Join us every Monday on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we delve into insightful discussions, expert advice, and inspiring stories. Hosted by Kelly Melissa Reinhardt, a warrior for mental health, this show is your guide to breaking down the stigma surrounding mental health and discovering valuable resources to enhance your well-being. So, are you ready to take charge of your mental health journey? Tune in and let's make mental health matter together.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
Calling all authors! Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to DreamVision7Radio.com.
It's time to make mental health matter. BCC bridges the gap by educating people to support those who are facing a mental health challenge. We aim to ACE, increase awareness, cultivate conversation, and provide education. To empower people and get educated and speak out about mental health and suicide so that we break down the stigma and start saving lives. Let's stop the stigma and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide through educational classes and community events to reach 1 million people by 2030. And you can help. Go to bccevolution.org. Stay connected. Be a part of our community. Go to bccevolution.org now or email us support@bccevolution.org and make mental health matter.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back. All right. So this has been such a great conversation, Thomas. I just really appreciate you being open, transparent with your story. I do also want to mention, I have noticed how calming your voice is, and I really appreciate that. And I think that you should absolutely teach people how to do that. I know that's on your big list of things to do, which it probably just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. So, if somebody wants to find you, they want to utilize your services, how can they do that?
Definitely. So I am on, I'm on LinkedIn. If I'm remembering correctly, my username is Thomas Roadhawk Wilson. Roadhawk is a very important username. You don't have time for me to go into it, but if anyone has questions on that, you can definitely ask me. I also have a link tree, which people can see all of the work I do. And I also welcome questions. I've mentioned this a few times now. I'm a massive believer in the power of questions. And I really, truly believe that people do not get to ask them as much as they should. I have a real problem with that. I think we need to, as a society, allow more and more questions. So please reach out to me and ask questions. On top of that, if you're in the Colorado area and you manage to see my name or see the work pop up, please feel free to show up to an event. I also do online events where people can reach out to me. I'm a big believer in accessibility going beyond just physical things. But yeah, those are the main ways.
Nice. And then this is your main website. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Ugh. So can reach there. Anything else that you want to share or last things that you want to say to the audience?
So definitely first, I wanted to say you, I was watching the ads that you ran for your work. I just want to say thank you for doing work in that community and in the suicide prevention. I've lost a lot of people to that, and the work you do, I'm sure, is invaluable. The other thing I want to say is, again, to everyone, I want to say thank you for listening to me. I know I can get a little rambly. But also, if you're having a hard day, if you're not feeling alone or isolated, or you're in a community where you don't know if there are sensory-friendly events out there, there's so much power in taking up the work or talking to someone or sharing your own passions. There's never going to be too many people doing this work in this world. So please own your own power as well.
I love that. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. And maybe we'll have you come back again and we'll talk about all the things that we didn't get to.
That would be wonderful.
All right, y'all, that was another amazing episode of Make Mental Health Matter. Like Thomas said, ask the questions. You're not going to offend anybody if you're asking questions. If you're asking the questions to truly understand, you're not going to offend them. And if you do, then maybe that's a whole nother conversation that you should be having. I love having the hard conversations. I never thought that I would be here, to be honest. I was not somebody that liked confrontation at all whatsoever. I actually would avoid it as much as possible. And then I finally had to have those conversations as a leader in a corporate setting. You can't really get out of them. And that was really the journey that started for me to ask the hard questions. And then shifting into the nonprofit world and really learning more about mental health, substance use, and suicide prevention. I wasn't educated before my sister passed. And so that's what I wanted to give back to the community. That's what we do now is we educate you. We teach you how to have these conversations. We teach you how to identify the signs and the symptoms. We also, if you need, there is verbiage even on our website that you can learn how to have these hard conversations. And I promise you, once you start to open up, you start asking the questions, you learn a little bit more about people, you start understanding people better, you're going to start understanding yourself most likely even more. And that's been a big thing for me, is just understanding myself, how I process things, and how I can openly communicate. It's so much easier. And I promise it does. It gets easier and easier the more you have these conversations. So no matter what you do, go out, talk with somebody, get curious, ask the questions. Some great ways to approach are, I like to say, I statements. So I notice, I wondered, I'm curious about, I observed, and then that way, it takes a little pressure off of you. It kind of opens up that door of like, hey, I'm just curious. I want to know. And maybe they're ready to talk to you. Maybe they're not. And that's okay. So either way, go have a conversation with somebody. You never know what you're going to find out and what you'll really learn. And make sure that you join us back here next Monday. So there are two ways to tune in to this show now. You can either watch on Dream Vision 7 radio or listen, watch radio. You have to listen on radio, Dream Vision 7 radio at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Mountain Time, or watch on E360 TV at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, always on Mondays. So whatever you do, make sure you come back, and I'll see you next week. Bye, y'all.
Thank you for joining today for the Make Mental Health Matter show. We hope you found today's episode insightful and empowering. Remember, your mental health journey doesn't end here. For more resources, support, and information, visit us online at makementalhealthmatter.org and come back every Monday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. You won't forget to subscribe to our show or follow us on social media to stay connected and continue the conversation, will you? That's right. Together, let's make mental health matter. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.